Nobody ever hands you a gay card when you come out of the closet. But you can apply for the new Platinum Plus MasterCard, a proud sponsor of pinkwashing at pride parades all over the world.
But since no one really issues you a gay card, there's nothing to revoke when your fabulous new life doesn't conform to other people's view of who you're supposed to be.
Today, comedian Shannon Knoll joins us to talk about their new web series, Just Call Me Ripley. Damn it! The story of a directionless bagel shop employee figuring out where they fit into this wild rainbow prism world we live in of gender and sexual expression.
Plus, Corner Gulch, Shannon Knoll's outrageous collaboration with photographer John West.
Dogs may have evolved to mimic human expression of sadness.
And Taylor Swift and Katy Perry make a happy meal in Swift's new video, You Need to Calm Down.
You hear me? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Damn it. Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Membership really does have its privileges, honey. Visit feastoffun.com/plus and become a premium listener and access decades of fierce, fabulous podcasts. Remember, Feast of Fun is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever fine podcasts are found. So go on, subscribe. You deserve it.
God, my voice is kind of going. I really hit it hard at the gym today, bruh.
I did a podcast before this, and the guy had just done CrossFit, so he was like, oh, my vision is kind of blurry. I was like, well, that's fucked up.
He should get his blood pressure checked.
Is that what that is?
Maybe. It could be something if you're blurry from working out.
He said he gets like halos in his eyes.
That's not good.
I know. I was like, dude, do you want to be recording this? He's like, I'm fine. I was like,
how old is he?
He's my age. He's like 30.
Oh my God.
What's the podcast?
I don't know. Don't say it on the air.
Well, you're not recording.
We are recording.
Oh.
Hey, folks. Our guest today is comedian Shannon Knoll, star of the new web series, Just Call Me Ripley, which mostly follows the story of Ripley, a directionless bagel shop employee stuck in the middle of a directionless coming out story. In other words, hell! Ripley is trying to figure out exactly where do they fit in this rainbow prism world of gender and sexual fluidity we all inhabit. Welcome back to Feast of Fun!
Yeah, thank you for having me back.
Ripley!
Ripley! Yeah.
Good to have you back.
Why the alien's name, Ripley? Like, that's a Sigourney Weaver's character from the Alien franchise.
It is, yeah. So I wrote the series using the name Ripley, which is the name of my cat.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, I'll just change it later. And then I never changed it, so.
Is it Ripley from the Aliens movie, or is it from the Talented Mr. Ripley?
It is from the Aliens movie.
Okay.
Because she kills bugs, and it's like aliens.
So in the web series, do you say, get away from her, you bitch?
I should. That'll be season two when Ripley goes to space. So this is actually the origin story of Ellen Ripley.
Well, the author of The Talented Mr. Ripley was a notorious womanizer. She was a lesbian.
Really?
They say she was nuts. One woman told me that she carried lettuce around in her handbag because she had a pet snail. And she ran through women. Like,
that
it was
is
crazy.
The most lesbian thing I've ever heard.
Now, last time you were on the show, we were sort of, and we still, you know, a little verklempt of the fact that you look very much like an even more butch version of Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, thank you.
You know, and your web series sort of is a call out to that.
Yeah, there's a part in the series where young Ripley is listening to Ellen coming out on the radio. I don't know.
Because do you ever feel like, you know, you're sort of like in a parallel universe that slipped into this dimension of Ellen DeGeneres?
Like I'm like past Ellen? I wish.
Or, you know, multi-dimensional Ellen DeGeneres, you know.
That'd be a pretty dope web series. I think I'm going to make that next. Who would be like old Ellen?
Ellen.
But like,
oh, shame. Phyllis Diller when she's dead. No, I don't know.
Phyllis Diller would do it. When she was alive.
Yeah.
And she's dead.
She's dead. Oh, she's dead. Yeah. She's dead, right? Now we're just going to invoke her ghost.
We'll get her to do it. You're like Ellen, but relatable, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to impersonate Phyllis Diller without sounding like Wayland Flowers' madam. Who's it was a puppet that was like a drag queen puppet from the TV shows and gay cabaret scenes of the 1980s, you know?
Cool.
And it was really wild. But okay, so for the purposes of the show and in interviews, you are going by the pronoun they.
Yeah, I'm using they, them.
And in an article in the Chicago Reader, the article went from talking about your doctor to your circle of friends to you and your family all using they.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of almost like a who's on first kind of thing going on there, right? Abbott and Costello.
With like figuring out like they and stuff. Yeah. It is like, so if I were like choosing language, I would have said that we should stick with like Z's air kind of stuff. But people got mad at that. So now I think non-binary people are like, well, we'll just use a word, you know,
and it's Z with a Z, not Z like with an S. Cause
Liza
S.
with a Z. Yeah. I just introduced my friend to Liza with a Z and I showed her my favorite song. I Gotcha. That's my favorite song off that concert. Mm. And she was like, what is wrong with her? Love it so much.
Probably methamphetamines, I'm guessing.
The way she does Fosse in that is insane.
Mm. I assume that you also identify as trans as well.
I feel like I fall.
Basically, like RuPaul's Drag Race and Pose is most Americans experience of trans people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think right now, trans women are having the spotlight, which is dope. I mean, that's awesome. I think that trans men, I don't know, it's like, I think our society is like, of course you'd want to be a man. So they don't worry as much, but it's its own bag.
Do you feel like pressure to sort of go in a more gender specific area in terms of your expression or identity?
Yeah. I mean, personally, for myself, I want to masculinize a little bit more, but I don't feel like I fit within a binary male or female. Mm. So I definitely like, I haven't had the question too much, but people will sometimes ask like, are you going to do all the way? And I'm like, that's not really like.
What exactly do they mean by that?
Like, yeah, am I going to go to third base? What are we talking? Like, all the way?
You can grab my boobs. Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Where are they going?
Yeah, right? Like, all the way. Like, I don't know. What's like,
What do you actually say to somebody is that you're going to go all the way?
God, I get so worn out.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I guess I should just.
Well, they talk about making your genitals look like a penis, I guess.
Yeah, I think they mean that. And I don't think they know what they're talking about.
They have no idea.
They're just like, are you going to look like a dude? And it's like,
there are some, you know, trans male identifying people that look, you know, like Mr. Hooper from Sesame Street or, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have no idea that person is trans until they tell you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's like testosterone can do crazy things. I think it's like testosterone is so much stronger on the body than estrogen, from what I understand. Mm. So as a trans man, it can like kind of take over.
Well, like estrogen softens the look, so it softens the features, and testosterone just what makes you horny.
Yeah, no, I think so.
It produces some body hair, because that's the thing that trans people always say. It's just like, I didn't realize just how horny, and like I'm on Scruff, I'm on Grindr, I'm looking, I'm like, I gotta get laid. I'm like, oh, and welcome to my world.
Yeah, I've talked to people who've gone on and off of testosterone. Like, I might at some point go on it, but like I've talked to people who've gone on and off, and they're like, I didn't even know my sexual preferences changed. Like, people would be like, I thought I was totally only into women, and suddenly I'm into everybody.
And dishwashers and trucks and
suddenly
sofas.
I'm humping the floor.
It's different though too. We have a friend who's a comedian, and they used to identify as a lesbian, right?
Yeah.
And then transitioned and then started finding themselves attracted to men almost exclusively. So it's just like there's something about their brain that was just kind of queer, no matter what hormones were in their body.
Totally. I mean, I feel that. Yeah. I have a sense that if I went on testosterone, that I would be. I mean, I was never like totally just into women in the first place, but I feel like I would be more comfortable to be with men as well.
Well, that's the other thing about testosterone. You don't really care that much either.
You're just kind of like,
you're like,
does it feel good? I'll take it.
My gender, whatever. I'm Peter Pan, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, if Peter Pan wasn't a kid.
I think Peter Pan is a datey. deity. Yeah.
Is Peter? No, Peter Pan is like 500 years old. Yeah. Actually, right? Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 Okay. Peter Pan is Pan, you know, from Greek mythology. Well, you know, history.
But like on Once Upon a Time and like that TV show, did you ever see that on ABC? Yeah. Peter Pan was like about the evilest creature there was.
He was
the most evil one. Like the witches were afraid of him.
I think I like stopped watching after season two, and then I jumped back in for a couple episodes, and Peter Pan was in it. I was like, oh god, this is insane.
He was real creepy. I didn't even watch the last season. I heard it was terrible. Yeah.
So should we call you Ripley? No, we're going to call you Shannon.
Yes, please.
But in the series, you work at your character Ripley identifies as female or uses female pronouns, and sort of exploring mostly Ripley's sexual identity.
Yeah, in this season, I wanted to like just because there's so much to explore with coming out in the episodes. It's 7 episodes that are 5 minutes roughly each. And so in that time, I felt like it was enough to just go into sexuality. And then if we were to make more seasons, maybe Ripley would find other things to come out about or other ways to.
Well,
explore.
Maybe you can find some space for a very attractive cross-dressing Puerto Rican friend of yours.
Oh, yeah. I will put that in the breakdown.
Are your friends all like, you know, I want to be in the show.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like,
it's really cute.
Thank you. I mean, my goal is like, the great thing about Chicago is you end up with so many talented friends, and it's like, I love that. Now I feel like I'm starting to be able to put friends in stuff.
Well, it's a great series, and it's really fun, and people can watch it on justcallmeripley.com, right?
Yeah, and it's through a platform called OTV, which is a fantastic Chicago platform that focuses on intersectional storytelling. So there's a lot of other really good series on there.
Are they funding the series, or they're just kind of hosting it on Vimeo? Or
they're hosting it, and they've helped to fund it, and they've helped to produce it in the way that like they've given us tons of advice and hooked us up with people, and
that's wonderful.
They've been fantastic. Yeah,
girl, give them a call if you got a web series. OTV's shopping. and so in the series, sort of you're getting you work as a bagel shop employee, a counter person, and Matt Brown's your coworker.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Brown,
who dates 8 different kinds of gender identities. I don't want to. Should we give away the joke?
No, don't give
it's
away.
In the trailer. You it's could give that town. One away.
And, yeah. And the Miami is a gender identity.
Yeah,
that's a city.
That's and a gender identity.
Exactly. Yeah, it's his character Beetle is like the ultimate millennial queer, where he's just like, yeah, everyone's pansexual and everybody has different genders.
Does it feel like that though nowadays with the younger people?
It does. It's I feel like I'm right in between generations. So I'm like, because I'm non-binary, get it a little bit, but I'm also like, wow.
See, in my day, we thought about, LGBTQ liberation as basically a plot to convince hot guys to sleep with you, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, well, you're a little homophobic, so. And now it seems like a lot of young people, they're using it almost as a way to create a healthy boundary of what is appropriate and not appropriate in terms of like their sexuality, in terms of romance, in terms of affection, right?
Yeah, that's so true, right?
It's not just the gender and sexuality, it's also like how just you relate to each other.
Yeah, like with like asexual and with like
polyromantic, fluidic space, trans loving this and that, semi-autistic, just all these terms. And it's like if you look at like all the rainbow flag redesigns, it's just this infinite prism of experience.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? Because like they added the bear flag, and then is there an otter flag?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
What color would that be?
I think they probably fall under the bear flag too.
The otters do. Yeah. They go under there.
Otter erasure is a real thing.
Well, you got the leather flag, the lipstick lesbian flag.
What's the lipstick lesbian flag? What color is that?
It was designed by me, actually, as a joke.
A cougar flag.
In 2008, Time Magazine was writing about like cougars and all the crazy wild phenomena of women having sex with younger men. Crazy. And we were like, oh, let's do a cougar pride flag based on, because bears, let's do cougars, right? And so we did all different shades of lipstick colors and posted it on the internet. I didn't think anything of it. Last week, we were doing an interview
with the creator of the Progress
Pride flag.
Daniel so Quasar.
The Pride flag, and then it has like the triangles, the chevrons of like the Pride and
people of color. Cool. That has all the different. Yeah.
That flag you're seeing everywhere. Mm-hmm. That guy also designed and helped animate the opening graphics of Cooking with Drag Queens, and is a listener of our show. Daniel
amazing.
Quasar, amazing, talented guy, gender non-binary person who mostly identifies as male, but not all the time. And so Daniel, I was researching it, and I found out this blog called This Lesbian Life took my design pixel by pixel and just flipped the white colors, the white stripe to put in the middle, and passed it off as a lipstick lesbian pride flag.
What?
And I was like, okay, that's cool, whatever. And then I started finding about other people that they're a bunch of TERFs. They're like trans exclusionary radical feminists
that are having this lipstick lesbian.
Yeah,
that's
really
to design, and they ripped off. And that just goes to show you that TERFs are terrible.
TERFs are horrible people. TERFs are thieves. TERFs are thieving.
Yeah. They can't even create their own flag.
They have to steal it
from a gender non-binary person.
Oh my god.
Shame on you.
TERFs, and they're terrible audience members.
Really?
They have the worst senses of humor. Yeah.
what did you get into trouble for saying?
Oh god, I don't know. I want to hear what you say too much because I don't know who listens to this show. Oh. I just like, I feel like whenever I perform to audiences, I can feel when there are TERFs present because they don't like being told that they like horses or just like making jokes, any jokes about them. They don't like it.
Well, what kind of jokes do you tell about a TERF?
Oh man.
I want to hear this. Hold on a second. Pull it out.
Okay. I did a daytime show and it was wonderful. I'm so grateful to have done it. Mm-hmm. However, I did I felt the TERF energy from the audience, was brought up with they/them pronouns, felt them recoil, and then went up and, you know, they were not an amused audience and they were sitting very far apart from each other. So I was like, oh, wow, look at out there. Big gay crowd. Looks like you all have enough room to have your own personal horse ranch. Did not like it.
Am I right, ladies?
I don't get the horse ranch part because they're horses.
Lesbians love horses. They
do love horses.
They do love horses, right?
Yeah.
They know they love horses.
Well, they say a lot of young women have their first orgasm while riding a horse.
That's the thing, right?
It's the movie Personal Best.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was for Track and Field. But there's a lesbian book or a movie about somebody who falls in love with a horse or something like that.
I'm sure that there's a bunch of them. Equus. Oh, that great lesbian movie, Equus.
They should have a lesbian version of that.
They should. Oh, yeah. It would be wild.
It'd be really wild.
Yeah.
It's Matt. You're so cute and lovely and accepting, and you have such great energy about you. I imagine that a lot of your fans fall in love with you, and that people are basically throwing hotel room keys at you in your show because in some ways, like to be trans and in a space where people are not necessarily understanding what it means to be trans means to sort of like occupy someone's sexuality or sexual permission. Right. And so like for me, like at the age of 18, when I was a queer performer, suddenly people were like, I sucked a dick once too, you know? And so they all start acting out and start sort of putting upon you their sexual desires and their hopes and dreams.
Like saying like kind of just, not necessarily crossing boundaries, but oversharing a little bit.
Mm. Crossing boundaries.
Yeah. I guess my therapist would be like, you can say crossing boundaries. I haven't experienced that so much. I have watched it happen to other performers. I think that it happens occasionally to me, but it's not, honestly, it was way worse when I was more feminine presenting and told people I was straight because it was straight dudes were 100 times worse about it.
I know. I knew when I aged out of passing as female when I dressed up in drag. When we went to a club, Mark and I, and we were in drag from the waist up, but we had our jeans and tennis shoes on
because we filmed an episode of Cooking with Drag Queens, our web series, which you can watch on YouTube. And because there's a counter in front of us, you only see us from the waist up.
You were only drag at the waist up.
And we did one with Pandora Box, who's a girl from RuPaul's Drag Race, and she's like, "Come to the club afterwards." So we went to the club with her. I'm like, "We'll just come and drag because we have to go right away." And so we didn't have like I'm wearing like sneakers and jeans.
Yeah,
and on top it's like a sequin outfit.
And people are just like super rude, super crossing boundaries, and like
looking at us as though we were like not drag queens but cross dressers, and it was weirding them out.
Well, we are cross dressers, but they felt like we were doing it
for a fetish or something.
We were there to steal something. We were there up to no good. We were there to take something from them. You know, people were like grabbing our bodies without asking for permission. Like, and to me, I was just like, normally I can roll with it, but I felt very vulnerable in that space. And I was just like, you know, if this is just one tiny little percentage, you know, a lifetime of dealing with that can be really maddening.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, that's interesting. Cause I've thought about it, but not necessarily, directly in this context. Cause I think trans feminine people get, way more boundary crossing. I feel like as I've become more masculine, I actually have gained a lot of male privilege where people don't fuck with me as much. And it's kind of,
do you think
cool.
that's something that you sort of are assuming, or do you think that's something that's being given to you, or a little bit of both?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, part of it is like, I'm sure I'm more confident in my body and just around, but I do definitely feel like people don't interrupt me as much. People don't come into my personal bubble as much. They kind of like,
yeah, that's really great. But, let's talk about I'm sorry, Z. Yeah. No, you have a series called Corner Gulch where before you had top surgery. And for people who don't understand what that is, it's removing the fatty tissue of your breast to give you a flat chest.
Yeah. Right? They take out the breast tissue. So,
and they ask you where you want your nipples to go.
Yeah.
That's or even if you want your nipples at all, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. So my surgeon was like, when I went in, she was like explaining the kind of cut that she was going to do. Cause you can choose your incision to make it follow your pec line or to make it less like masculinizing. And then you can also choose, where you want your nipples to go. And she was like, where do you want your nipples here? And I was like, yeah. I was like, where they look good, put them back, just put them back. And she was like, I was like, does anyone ever say any different? And she was like, yeah, actually sometimes people who are, don't identify with any gender, or neutrosis or whatever, don't want nipples cause they feel like it genders them.
It's neutrosis. What?
Yeah. It's What's, like another, I so this is term. Where my ignorance is also coming in, but I think it's just like no gender whatsoever.
Okay. So they don't want any nipples at all.
No nipples.
Well, and some people just get tattooed once, right? Cause and I think it's a much cheaper option for some people.
It's easier, I think, like, cause what I had was a skin graft. So they put them back on with grafts and it's, I mean, I was fine, but if you have any issues with like health or anything, they can fall off. Okay. And that was,
cause they do the operation, right? And they put your nipples someplace else on your body and then put them on later on or something. Is that how that worked? Cause I know that for some people, that's how they do it with breast cancer. They remove the nipples. They'll put them on like their inner thighs.
Oh, wow. I didn't have that.
And then they'll put them back later, like in some other, you know, like in that area.
In that area?
Yeah.
No, I think that they just, cause when I woke up, I had them back on. Okay. So I think that they just, they cut off like the bottom tissue, the extra skin on the bottom of the breast. And they basically like then sew everything back together. And then they've taken off your nipples. And I think they must take off like a circle of skin and put them back in.
And put them right in there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so in Corner Gulch, the photography project, you documented your chest beforehand and afterwards.
Yeah, actually it's all just before. So okay. I haven't done an after. I don't know if I will do an after one.
We can take, I got a camera.
We could do an afterward. Let's do a Corner Gulch after.
Shirtless podcast right now.
I would be, it feels so good to not have a chest. It feels great. But
are you going to start doing push-ups and stuff?
Yes, I can't. This week, hopefully I'm cleared to go back to like doing Muay Thai and push-ups. I want to get like ripped.
Jacked.
Get now, jacked.
Can I ask
Juice,
you?
Juice, bro.
Were you binding before?
No, I mean, I felt lucky that I was small enough to be able to wear a sports bra and not have too much of a issue, but, and binding, I'm like, so I don't like being constrained. It was really uncomfortable.
But you know, some people describe sort of when they're in the process of, having surgery or sort of coming into their own and their gender appearance or desire identity, it's kind of like always being on vacation, but now you just move to an exciting new city and you get to live there. And finally you're like, oh my God, everything, food tastes better. The sun's brighter.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I mean, I felt like, as soon as I woke up from surgery, I was like, oh my God, like just such a relief. It was like, I didn't realize how much energy I was putting into forgetting about having breasts.
You don't have like phantom boob feelings or anything like that?
No, I think that I was always surprised when I looked down and I had breasts. So now it's like, oh, that's right.
Okay. It's matching what is in your head.
Yeah.
Now, when we first met you, you told us a little bit about your struggle with alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, I don't drink. I've been 4 years sober.
And, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that'll keep you young.
It certainly helped the healing
process. You look this face. It's because I don't drink. I know I look like I'm always drunk because anytime I'm drunk, it's because we're filming it.
Yeah. So you've got all your drunk times on film.
And I'm just like, oh my God, just one beverage. It'll send me, you know.
Yeah.
But I just tell everybody, it's like, you know, alcohol is one of the most notorious drugs in some ways.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. I mean, I'm really grateful that I don't drink anymore. I think it's wonderful when people can drink and can handle it. And I don't know, that's cool. But it was always bad.
I don't want to be a prohibitionist or anything, but I do feel like sometimes our community relies too much on cigarettes and alcohol, you know, just to fun things and to
LGBT, you know. People spend $7 billion a year on nicotine products.
Oof. Yeah.
Could you imagine what we spend on booze?
Right.
Weren't they like passing out packs of cigarettes at Pride at one point?
I'm sure they were. I know. Yeah. They were passing out snus when that came out. That
Operation
horrid.
Scum or something, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Where they wanted to get the urban gay people to be. It was an actual thing that the tobacco company did. Yeah. It was to get the urban, you know, African-American gay population hooked on cigarettes.
God.
I think it was called Operation Scum.
God.
Like that.
People are awful.
Oh, my God. The tobacco industry. Jeez.
Yeah. I quit smoking. I've quit on and off, but I've been quit for at least 6 months. So that's one that like hung around after quitting drinking. Mm.
Lots of people that quit drinking continue to smoke for years and years and years because you're just like, I gotta do something.
I gotta ruin my body somehow.
Well, we're more about the like a little bit of, you know, pot before going to bed.
Yeah.
Because when you get to our age, it's like those hormones that allow you to sleep through the night start diminishing.
They just go.
And you just like, you're like waking up at like my parents, you know, at 6
a.m. When I went on east with my mother, I'm like, let's stop in Massachusetts. Let's get you some marijuana to help you sleep. And she's 94. She's like, no, I don't want it. I'm just like, I think it would be really good for you. Now I'm just like, all right.
Wow. Fine.
You know?
Yeah. I think, I didn't know Massachusetts had it legalized. Heroin.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do heroin at 94?
At 94? Yeah, I might. Heroin's never been interesting to me. I would just do uppers, probably.
Okay.
I'd be like a wily little.
Speed to your death.
Yes, baby! Yeah. Drive off the cliff like Thelma Louise.
That's how I'm going out.
With cops on my ass.
Yeah. What a great way to go.
I don't know if like in hindsight, Thelma Louise was such a great movie. You know, it was like, oh, feminism. Yeah, you gotta die.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen that movie all the way through.
It has a young Brad Pitt in it.
Does it really?
A very young Brad Pitt.
When he was a pool boy?
Yeah.
Pool boy Brad Pitt.
I think that was his, I think it was probably one of his first big movies. He played
Sexy Brad.
Yeah, Sexy Brad.
Yeah, he looked gorgeous. Still does. Mm-hmm. Now, Shannon, in terms of your sexual identity in the series, you're sort of trying to navigate whether you're gay. You describe that no one ever hands you a gay card.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you personally stand on your sexual identity?
I've gotten a lot looser with it. I think that when I was coming out, it was like, I don't know. I feel like growing up, it was always you're gay or straight. There's not really. And if you're bisexual, you're lying.
It's a binary.
Yeah, there's like that binary.
Invisible. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Bi erasure. My roommate's last name is Erachar, and he always jokes he's going to change his name to Bi Erasure. I feel like as I've as I masculinize, I'm more open to, maybe not right now. I've kind of been done with men for a minute, but going back to
it.
Yeah, right. I think I only fall in love with women, but sexuality is like, we're just kind of all monkeys.
Is there a word for that? Like, you know,
I think
gyno-romantic or something?
Andromantic?
Well,
what do they say? Demisexual? Is that when you have to be turned on by their brain or something? Is that right?
Demisexual? Yeah, I've heard all different.
Right?
Or is it like you have to like be friends with them for a while and then you can be sexual?
I think pansexual is when you're attracted to people who look like Peter Pan.
Hey, look, I will only date pansexuals.
Is that like in terms of your
like, who do you fantasize about? Like,
was that your comedy bit? Who is the comedian that we did the comedy bit about falling in love with Peter Pan?
Oh, that's Allie Clayton. That's right?
Allie. Oh, yeah. She did. Yeah. Yes. I forgot about
How
that story.
Is she?
I think she's doing fine. Her and Melody Kamali. Did you ever know Melody?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
She's a hilarious comic as well. They've
was
been,
she in Chicago?
She was, yeah. Okay. And I think they're dating and they both live in New York. Oh. And so, yeah, I think she's doing great.
Well, all right.
But Shannon, because, you know, your fans are listening here. who do you fantasize about? Like, who you go, oh, there, I just think they're so dreamy.
What's, like, my type?
Yeah, no, like, do you ever fantasize about being in a relationship with somebody?
Yeah, it would be, like, a woman.
But, like any celebrities that you're just like...
Oh, or, God. Okay,
you
know, yeah.
Are you more of a Taylor Swift or a Katy Perry?
Katy Perry. Also, Katy Perry with, like, a bad drug problem. Like, that would
oh,
be
Oh, you
like
that when she was a little wild.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of a goody two-shoes on the outside, but you're, like, a wild person in the inside.
Is yeah. that right?
I think that I want to be a wild person, but I'm too, like, uptight to actually live that out.
Well, it's a hangover. You know, part of it is, like, yeah. drugs are fun. It's just the next day you're like, oh, God, I want to die, you know?
What did I do? Yeah.
And then some people just, they turn around and just do more drugs. And to me, I'm like, you are amazing.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, that's the last thing I want is more alcohol or anything like that, you know?
Totally. Like the hair of the dog theory.
I can't do hair. No, I don't even like it when my dog sheds.
Yeah. You're like, I won't even eat Jesse's
Thank
hair.
Thank God shedding season is almost over.
Well, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, who are famous, they've released songs.
Do we know them?
Fighting each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it all started with, Taylor Swift or Katy Perry was stealing backup dancers and forcing them to go into contract so they couldn't be used, you know, touring with them. Or mm-hmm. That's like the original beef.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was personal. And, you know, so there's a new video and looks like, you know, they're in love, I guess, or they're friends.
Well, I don't know if they're friends, but Taylor Swift does have a new video out for a song, and it features a bunch of gay celebrities. RuPaul's in it, a bunch of the Rue Girls. Some of the guys, Queer Eye from the Straight Eye. Ryan Reynolds is in it.
But he's, you know, straight.
Right? What is
straight.
Yeah? He's, why yeah. is he in it?
He's just kind of painting the photo or something. Who knows?
Because he's Deadpool.
Yeah.
And Deadpool has sex with everybody.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
it's
that.
It's brand.
Wow.
So it's on brand.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Branding. No, I think Ryan Reynolds in real life probably eventually will come out and have a very lucrative six-figure book deal of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes these celebrities, you know, they're all just like, you know, I'm too famous to have an identity of any kind.
Yeah, I think when you're a major A-list celebrity actor, your sexual identity is actor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like everything else is secondary because you're just so driven and focused on what you want in life.
Well, now like people are claiming Marlon Brando as gay.
Well,
he was bisexual. He was like known bisexual,
yeah,
right?
Known.
He was with James Dean, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was with James Dean. I guess he used to burn James Dean with cigarettes.
Oh God.
He was with Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
There's supposedly a photo of Marlon Brando sucking Ernie somebody. Like this guy was not very attractive.
Ernie Kovacs.
I think it's Ernie Kovacs.
Was he in the gorilla suit?
I don't know if he was in the gorilla suit or not. But there's supposedly a photo of him like blowing up.
Oh my God.
You know, it's what are you gonna do? But her video, you need to calm down, no portion of the proceeds or whatever is to go to support LGBT equality. And it's a fun video.
You said so many words there.
I was just trying to say is that
the name of the video is called You Need to Calm Down.
You Need to Calm Down, yeah.
And
it takes
and
place in
a charity.
It takes place in a trailer park. It's all the Rue Girls. It's all your gay celebrities. And then at the end, it's Katy Perry in her hamburger outfit. I don't think it's the same one that she wore to the Met.
It does look like it, yeah.
It might be a little different or it's not. And then Taylor Swift is dressed as French fries. Everybody's fighting around them and they kind of look at each other and they go over and they kind of like, and you're like, are they gonna kiss? What's gonna happen? And then they just kind of like give each other a little hug. But I bet you Taylor Swift gets onto that meat patty later on.
You know? I think so. It looked like it. I mean, I think the fact that they didn't kiss makes it more likely that they're hooking up off camera.
You think so? It's like if Madonna kisses Britney Spears, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, or it's using sort of same-sex sexuality to market themselves.
Oh yeah.
Whereas here that gets thrown out the window because it's not happening.
But why dressed as fast food?
think that's really funny to me because I didn't realize that she had worn a hamburger outfit to the Met Gala as well. That, I love the idea that Katy Perry just wants to rewear it. Like my mom, like she's like, well, I can't just wear it once.
She's got her pickles. Yeah. Well, I there's always been rumors that they were sort of romantically involved.
And I kissed a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, and I liked it.
Taylor Swift was the person who she kissed.
Maybe.
Wow. I want to write a whole fanfic about this when I get home.
Oh, I'm sure there's a bunch of
Did I tell you this story that we actually got Katy Perry's publicist inviting Katy Perry on this podcast?
What?
And we were traveling to Texas to go to the South by Southwest Music Festival, and we said, can we schedule this for next week?
Yeah.
And the publicist says, absolutely. Here's the song. Please play it on the podcast. Here's some press photos. We got it ready. And then the song went to number one. And
immediately
we wrote back to the publicist and said, are we still on?
We're gonna do it.
And they're like, it's silence. And I'm like, wow. But I was just like, I mean, as soon as I heard that song and saw Katy Perry's photo, I was like, oh, she's gonna, this Zoe Deschanel lookalike lady is gonna be big, you know?
Right. She had a whole thing though where she gave up fame, right? Where she was trying to get rid of it.
Kind of. She was like shaving her head.
And, she was like, that was all an act. I'm tired of doing the act. I'm going to go host The Voice now or whatever it is.
Okay. So you know, that's not being famous, being on television.
I know, right?
up fame to be slightly more famous.
Yeah.
Well, don't you feel that way? Like sometimes that being entertainment and showbiz is a hustle. And it's like if you're, you know, we're all working other jobs to be able to entertain other people who are kind of like, you know, it's like you make this really elaborate meal and then your friends come over to eat and they're like, I don't like sesame seeds. You know, you're like, I almost killed myself for this.
Totally. I mean, I think it's got to be tiring. I can't imagine at that level. Like we talk about like people feeling like you kind of owe them part of your time or your body. I can't imagine being at Katy Perry's level.
Well,
a lot of people counting on you to bring in those millions of dollars. Shannon, are you a cat person or a dog person?
I like all animals.
Oh,
I love them. I have two cats.
I
have a cat.
To eat them.
I don't like to eat them. No. I'm a vegan.
Vegan, pure vegan. Like no ovo, lacto, nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
So they've discovered researchers have discovered that the dogs, you know, they do that sad eyes thing when they look at you and they raise like the inner eyebrows up and give you the sad eyes. That they've developed that over time and they think it is to appeal to humans.
Wow.
Because it's a look that humans make when they're sad. Is like kind of like help me, because they've discovered like most wolves don't have the ability to make that gesture. I guess some can kind of do it a little bit, and dogs really only do it when they're around humans.
Wow.
They don't do it when they're interacting with other dogs.
Can I throw another idea on the pile there?
Maybe.
Everybody thinks dogs are imitating us.
Mm-hmm.
Humans have co-evolved with dogs. The modern human is a result of our interaction with dogs. So sometimes we're imitating the dogs as much as the dogs are imitating us.
But the wolves don't do it.
That's what I'm saying. But the dogs and the humans are co-evolving together.
What do you think that we took from dogs?
I'll tell you this.
Sniffing butts.
Maybe you took that from dogs.
Sometimes I'm in the bathroom and I like, you know, you know how like your periods get synchronized if you're in the office with women, you know? It's like my dog's poop and my poop start smelling alike.
Do you eat the same thing?
No, but like we're just, you know, picking up his
same
poop.
Bacteria or something.
Yeah.
There's something
that could
happening.
Actually be true. That's disgusting and fascinating.
Well, and my dog's licking my face all the time, you know? So he's giving his bacteria to me, whether I'm aware of it or not. And, you know, we live in the same home together. He jumps in my bed, you know, it's like, where, you know, besides my husband, the other being that has more bacteria like occupying my personal space is my dog.
Yeah. I wonder, I have a cat clearly named Ripley and she has horrible breath, but it's like, I love the smell of her horrible breath.
Aww.
And I think it's like, she's like a child kind of.
Why does she have horrible breath?
I don't know.
What are you feeding her?
Just regular cat food. Aww. She's like she was a street cat, so I probably have to take her to the vet, but she's had horrible breath since I got her.
Mm. She might have rotten teeth.
She might have rotten teeth.
Yank them out.
Yeah.
I mean. So Gay Street in New York City, which is not too far from, you know, I think it's a hole in that Christopher Square area, right? Mm-hmm. Gay Street is getting a rebranded name for Pride. So it's not just going to be called Gay Street. It's got the gay sign, but then it has a lesbian, trans, bisexual, genderqueer all listed down below it. So it's a pretty spectacular looking street sign. Here, I'll give you guys a look at it.
That's pretty cool.
Look at all that. Look at all them colors.
Oh, look at that.
Non-binary, yes, pansexual, two-spirit, intersex, queer, trans.
I don't see no brown stripe. I don't see no black stripe.
Yep.
Be there.
Intersectionality matters.
It does matter. But the trans, trans got three colors. They got the, is it turquoise, pink, and white?
Yeah, they put them all
in there.
Did
you notice that Taylor Swift is wearing the bisexual pride flag colors on her wig? Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Is she signaling?
I think so. She's signaling. I think she's been signaling for a while now. She strikes me as being not.
Or is it possible to be a successful entertainment pop star and not toy with the idea that you may not be cisgendered or heterosexual?
I mean, there's the dark side of it where you're like, is she just doing this for publicity or like because it's the hot thing right now? Which I like to give people room because I think everyone's gay, but
you should.
Yeah.
That should be the default.
Yeah.
It's like you're gay until you prove to be boring.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to be, and that's a kind of a tall order to be more boring than Taylor Swift.
You actually came out as gay or you were gay in an acting workshop. Yeah. You're so gay, you discovered you were gay through an acting.
That was like the gayest way to figure it out. It was so embarrassing.
What were you doing exactly there?
This is exercise called Meisner. It's this or this, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And I was just doing a workshop. It's like so embarrassing to me because I always, when I started doing acting, I was like, well, I'll never be one of those people who figures out they're gay through acting, which should have been a sign. Because you don't think that if you're not gay.
True.
That's like, yeah. So I was like, it's this exercise where like you, part of it is repetition. So you have to observe something about somebody and say it to them. Like,
were observing something about you.
Yeah. So this girl was like, you're flirting with me. And I had to say back to her, I'm flirting with you. And then you just repeat it until you make a new observation. So then her next observation was, you're gay. And I had to say, I'm gay. And it just like something clicked into place. And I was like, uh-oh.
Wow. Can we try that?
Do you want to try that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it.
Oh my God, I don't know if I'm ready for my deepest, darkest secrets to be broadcast in the world.
All right.
Okay, so do I go first?
How does it work?
It just kind of like naturally switches back and forth. Okay. So I'd be like, you have blue eyes. And you have to say,
I have blue eyes.
You have blue eyes.
I have blue eyes.
You have blue eyes.
I have blue eyes.
And then at any point we could.
Okay, I'll flip it over.
You're wearing a sweatshirt.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
You're wearing a sweatshirt.
I am wearing a sweatshirt.
You're a little nervous.
I am a little nervous.
You're supposed to flip it at some point in time.
I'm supposed to do something now?
Yeah. If you observe something, I see. Look, I'm going to...
You think Fausto is amazing.
I think Fausto is amazing.
You think Fausto is amazing.
I think Fausto is amazing.
You think Fausto is amazing. I love this
exercise.
You
like this exercise?
I'm going to write them a check for $1,000 as soon as I'm done with this podcast. Is that like hypnosis?
Yeah, it's
kind of like hypnosis.
Can we do this with the audience?
How does this teach you to act?
It's, I only took that one workshop and I blacked out because I figured out I was gay.
Because you left, you're like screaming, I'm gay!
I mean, it's...
Do you know the person that you were doing that with?
I don't...
Do you know who they... I
fear that she listens to these and is like, oh my God. Like, I don't know.
I outed them and they didn't even know.
Yeah. But she was very nice. I don't know her anymore. She was very nice. I'm going to take another Meisner.
She gave you a great gift.
She really did. I mean, I'm really grateful that she did.
Because what would have happened if you had never taken that class?
I know, right?
Where would you be now?
I think what would have happened is I think about that. I'm like, I bet I would have either married this dude or at some point would have just fallen in love with a woman and cheated on him. Mm. You know, it just at some point it would have happened.
Because you were ready to cheat.
I'm
ready to cheat.
I'm ready to cheat. I am ready.
Donut looks delicious.
I am ready to cheat. Yeah.
This is sometimes like you feel like now you're sort of like almost like living in a fishbowl. You're so public. You're so putting so much of your, you know, your body, your heart, and your soul out there that you're just kind of like, wasn't that the big deal?
That moment wasn't that big. I also don't feel like I'm that exposed right now. Like, I feel pretty anonymous most of the time.
Like, you know, people will ask me sexual information about somebody, like a guest of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I know you guys slept with that person, blah, 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 you know? And I'm even if I did sleep with them, I'm not telling you nothing. It's your privacy, Shannon Knoll, not, you know, I'm not saying anything about us, is important to me. And if I know something about you that you're not comfortable saying to the public, I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, thank you.
I keep your name out of my mouth.
Yeah, thank you, because you'll keep my name out of your mouth, and then we repeat it back and forth.
Well, that's the thing, and I think sometimes, you know, for me, because I've, you know, I sometimes feel like I'm visiting Chicago, even though I've been living here for decades, you know, and as a queer person, I'm always feel like I'm always visiting something, you know, like I'm not a resident of any specific place or identity or, you know, so I'm always feel like I can sort of criticize my own community because in some regards, I'm also looking at it from the outside. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way in some regards or?
Yeah, like not feeling, I don't know. I don't know if this applies to you too, but I've always felt like I'm kind of identity wise, like a performer almost first and foremost. And then, unfortunately don't have as much of a foot in the queer community.
Except on Pride and when there's merchandise to be sold.
Except for, look, if you want to go to my website, you could just go there and Venmo me money. I don't know.
What is your website?
It's just my name, ShannonLKnoll.com.
Oh, so there's an extra N?
There's an L in it because there's a, L. I think we've talked about this guy before. Yeah. There's an Australian pop singer with my same name. We got along on Twitter.
Okay.
He's
somebody else I'm thinking of.
The rest of the world hates me for playing Barron Trump, but I feel like that's water under the bridge. I forget all the time.
up late night, you were a star of a very popular variety show. In
it was
Chicago.
Honestly, it was two nights at a theater that could seat 100 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were Barron. Aaron Diamond, who has been a guest on this podcast, played Melania Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was Melania telling Barron nighttime stories. Is that how it went?
Yeah. So it was basically like Pee Wee's Playhouse, mm-hmm. but with Barron Trump as Pee Wee. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't making fun of him at all. He was the straight man. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it just blew up in a way that it didn't need to.
You got some death threats?
I got some death threats. I got doxed. They published my address. They did it all.
Wow. We've been doxed too.
Have you really?
Yeah. And you're just like, every time you open mail, you're like, I'm not going to eat this box of chocolates. And sometimes like, the chocolates look so good. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm just going to die. I don't want to live without mm-hmm. chocolate.
Oh, wow. You just put that information out there.
Yeah, I'm like, you want to kill me?
Kill Fausto. Send him chocolates.
Send him really good chocolates.
Chocolate. No, it was like, it was a situation where like it escalated in this forum because, you know, these people were like fighting. Most recently, the Radical Fairies. Do you guys even know what the Radical Fairies are? And there's this forum on Facebook and they're going into this huge fight over who is included or welcome or not welcome at a fairy gathering. And I think part of it is that a lot of people are sort of seeing the Radical Fairies as the Michigan Women's Music Festival or a gay white gay man's circuit party as this just another organization that limits itself to who can attend. And part of me, I'm like, the Radical Fairies are hippies. You know, there is no organization. Anybody can call themselves a hippie. Mm-hmm. Anybody can call themselves a Radical Fairy, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this misunderstanding of what a radical fairy is, you know, thinking that there's like a customer service hotline you can call and complain about it. You know,
that's insane. I'm not familiar with the radical fairies.
I didn't realize this fight was happening at all. And a friend of mine just kind of told me about it. And I was just like,
and it seems to be going on for months now. It's the same thing. I think it might be Russian operatives trying to, you know, infiltrate and cause and sow dissent among, you know,
because it is a very progressive, very mm-hmm. radical, very politically active mm-hmm. group of marginalized queer people of all kinds. And they're very much normally been very tied in solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that this online forum where, you know, you don't know who these people are, you know, it's like, and you're getting into this argument with somebody. And I think the, you know, the points of view are being made are valid if the Radical Fairies was an organization in the first place.
Yeah.
But it's not. So it's like, who are you arguing?
They're just all fighting.
Well, even like the with the rainbow flag debate, you know, it's like the guy who created the rainbow flag throughout the course of his life said, this is unfinished. This is for you, future generations to define, to reinvent, to redesign.
Yeah.
And people are like, the rainbow flag should not, the rainbow flag purists.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's so amazing. I mean, I do get it when you've like fought really hard for your identity your whole life. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I'm the one who did it. But it's like, you were the outsider. And, you know, why don't everybody else is too? So just let people in.
Well, because it's fun to be in control.
Right,
in charge.
Just be like, yeah.
Shannon Null's part of the Feast of Fun Club. Are you?
Ooh.
You can become a member at feastoffun.com/plus. Or really? Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Because membership has its privileges, honey. For just a couple of dollars a month, honey, you can get access to everything.
Everything.
Even the after show. Where we lift our shirts up and look at each other's nipples.
You can listen to that.
I like my... How do you like... What do they say in the movie Showgirls? Have you ever seen that movie?
Do you like tits? I haven't. How do you like them?
No, yeah, I like my nipples. Do you like nipples?
No, it's tits.
It's tits.
It's so tits.
Yeah.
I love like the word pretty tit.
Dress.
Tit? You like the word tit or nipple?
Tit. I don't like the word nipple. I like the word tit.
No.
What's your nice tits you got there?
It's such like a heinous word. I love it.
So... folks, check out Shannon Null starring in Call Me Ripley. Woo. Just Call Me Ripley.
Just Call Me Ripley.
And of course, your photography series documenting your removal, your top surgery.
Yeah, it's actually it's a character series. Yeah, it's all pre, and it's with a fantastic queer photographer, John Wess, who does amazing photography, and we're hoping to grow it with more people doing characters.
Were you going to photograph it afterwards? Like, are you going to continue with it?
Maybe. I think our main goal is to get more queer performers in there to do, so it's like different characters. Instead of being sexy, it's funny. So we want to get more comedians in there to do like queer character shoots.
When I'm naked, I'm hilarious.
Exactly.
Shannon, it is so good to see you. I absolutely adore you, and you're just such a wonderful, warm spirit, and you're so inviting to all kinds of people. It's a very generous thing that you do.
Oh, thank you.
Not just as a non-binary person and not as a queer person, but also as a performer, as an artist. Inviting that into your life is not an easy thing to do, and it's, you know, to be applauded.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me back. It's always such a good time.
Anytime,
honey. Later this week, Matt Brown's going to be coming to talk about what it's like to work with Shannon Null.
Yeah, yes.
The flip side.
Ooh, the dirt.
And Juneteenth, and we're doing a show about eating ass. Is that right?
Eating, you know. Well, I'm very interested. Do you know Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives?
I know the TV show Desperate Housewives.
So she's a blonde. Well, she had anal cancer, and her anal cancer, she says, is directly related to her husband's throat cancer. So I love it that like an A-list Hollywood celebrity is like, I like to get my ass eaten. Unfortunately, it causes cancer.
That's how Eartha Kitt died.
She had anal cancer too. So did Farrah Fawcett.
Wow.
And what they're discovering is like, you know, how young women get the Gardasil
HPV
kind of vaccine, to prevent against cervical cancer. Now they're giving it to young men as well because it can cause all sorts of cancers like throat cancer or anal cancer.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Watch out, folks. World is wild. Shannon, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love you so much. Love you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.